I'm an addict, and my name is Anne-Marie. Hey, everybody, and I love Narcotics Anonymous, and I always start off whenever having a privilege and the opportunity to share my experience, Trip and Hope. I always start off with talking about how much I love Narcotics Anonymous. As a result of Narcotics Anonymous, I love a lot of other things, God being one of those things, and you people being other things that I love. And honesty, I think my responsibility is to try to share about honesty, which is the how of our program. That's what this particular workshop is about. But before I do that, I want the newcomer to know that we love you, and we love you just like you are, and we love you before you. You know, some of the time you may not think that you get here, and you may not think that you, you know, you're being honest and all and things of that. But first of all, immediately when I made a decision after getting here and I accepted my dilemma, I immediately started practicing some honesty just when I admitted that I couldn't handle drugs. That's my first form of humility, even before I knew anything. I still don't know a whole lot about humility. I still don't know a whole lot about being humble. I still can be very arrogant and very, you know, egotistic. All of those things that I came in here with that I had prior to coming here, I still can be all of those things. It's just through this program and through my ability to practice honesty that I'm able to say that I'm those things, because before I would deny them, I would act like I was humble when you all guys already knew. But it wasn't until I was able to get honest with myself about who I really, really was. And one of the first things that I had to admit about myself is that I was an addict and I couldn't stop using drugs. I could not stop using drugs. I tried everything to stop using drugs, I'm telling you. And a lot of times, you know, could it be the drugs? You know, and I had like all this evidence. I had all this evidence that something was going wrong. And, you know, but, you know, I thought about where I came from, because I came from a good place. You know, I had two parents and they dressed, you know, they took good care of me, you know, but no matter what. And I tried a lot of times to get clean. I went different places. I did different things. I tried different drugs. I tried it on a weekend. And I never always seemed to get back to that same state. And I kept thinking back here somewhere, could it be drugs? Could it be drugs? But never really wanting, still always trying to find, needing it to be something else, because drugs did. So it felt a need for me. And I really needed it to be something else to be the problem. The major problem. I really, at a time in my life, needed something, the man, or being a half-breed, or living down the way, or not, something else. Let it be something else, because this thing that it could be, I can't imagine being able to do anything without it. I can't imagine being able to function, being able to live my life, being able to cope with anything. Because I couldn't cope with anything. Good, bad, up, down, nothing. And this was my everything. And then to come here through Grace America, because I didn't just wake up one day. Let's be honest. I didn't just wake up one day and decide that I had a problem and I wanted to get myself together. That's not what happened. I ended up here. I don't know how. I really can't figure out how I ended up in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. It wasn't in my plan. But I ended up here, and as I ended up here, I started making meetings, and I started listening to people talk about their experiences. And their experiences sound so similar to mine, I started listening to the literature, and then the literature kept on saying, in there, somewhere it said, could it be the drug? It kept saying that, you know what I mean? And then I found myself asking myself this question from another perspective that had been put in my mind from y'all. Listening to y'all talk about y'all experience with asking yourself, could it be the drug? But then y'all had the answer. Y'all got into the part of, no, why would, who's an addict, where it said that most of us don't have to think twice about this question. We know. Y'all was there. I wasn't quite there yet. I was still with, could it be the drug? Could it be the drug? I was kind of, you know, right there. But through the keep coming back process, through the keep coming back process, I did get to a place in my life early on in this process where I realized that absolutely, and I was able to tell myself, absolutely, it's the drug. it is the drug, Emery. Drugs destroy you. They turn you into something that you can't control. You are a monster, and once you start, you can't stop. You can't do it every now and then. There is no particular drug that you can use. You even got to not cop, period, or you're going to be doing what you always did. And I was honest enough through the keep coming back for. Listen, I still, through keep coming back process, get what it takes to be honest. And sometimes I do better than that. I'm just able to, because I've been here for a minute, practice. I'm able to just tell the truth. Because they are two different things. They are two different things. But early on, because it's really important that I always stick with the basics and talk about being honest early on, because everything that I did in the beginning set me up to be where I'm at in my life today, with the situations that arise in my day, in my life every day, and how important it is that I'm, listen, as much as I love you guys, what I found out the most is that I'm the person that I gotta be able to tell the truth to. It's important that I'm able to be honest with myself. It's important that I'm able to tell myself how messed up I really am. It's important to listen. It's always easy. And I know they say, you know, we suffer from, look, a lot of the stuff that we say it out of literature. We say low self-esteem. I have low self-esteem. Well, our literature said that self-esteem was non-existent. I needed to tell myself the truth. You don't have no self-esteem. None. There is nothing about me that I liked when I got here. Nothing. And even the things that other people had seen all my life and told me, well, you got pretty hair. Listen, I never seen what other people seen. I ain't like none. And it was important that I tell myself the truth about that and not walk around and act like I had something that I didn't have. Because if you don't tell yourself the whole truth, you can't get the whole help. So I knew that there was nothing about me that I liked when I got here. Nothing. And there was nothing to fuck about you that I liked either. There was nothing. I had nothing. I had nothing of substance on the inside. Everything that I have and everything that's good about what I got it through the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And it wasn't that it wasn't tried to give to me before. I wasn't open to nothing prior to getting here. I wasn't open to direction and to God and to telling the truth and to humility. And I wasn't open to that stuff. It wasn't until the thorough ass whooping that I got. And I ended up here through tender grace and mercy. And I looked in the mirror. I listened to y'all. And I began to listen to our literature. And I began to put myself. Y'all ain't make me say I'm no addict. But just because y'all said it. Listen, I began to see myself in the literature. I began to see that I could stop, but I couldn't stay stopped. I began to see that once I started, it was a done deal. I began to see that it turned me into a monster. Every time I picked up, I lost my mind. I began to see that nothing was important to me. Nothing, not washing, not eating, not my son, not nothing. Nothing mattered but one more, and I was willing to do anything for one more. And I didn't minimize what I was willing to do. I didn't come in and act like I was still getting $50 for pussy when sometimes I couldn't even get $2. I came in here, and I was able to tell myself the truth about how fucked up I was so that I could get the help that I needed. So I was able to do that. And it was women and men around here who didn't listen, because one of the scary things in our immature spirits and our immature minds when you first get here, no matter how many times I heard Kenny Ali and Brian and Kalia and Niecy and Winnie and no matter how many times I heard them, and they was fucked up just like me. They shared what they did. They shared what happened. They shared what addiction did to their life. They shared. And I ain't talking about, they may not have lived in a abandoned house like me. Some of them might still. But I heard them talk about how they felt about what the disease of addiction had done to them. Right? And I knew. And in my immature mind, I still had to keep coming to get the courage to be able to say that it happened to me, because your story, you admitting how fucked up you is, ain't gonna help me. I got to get to a point in my life when I'm willing to tell myself the truth about what happened to me. And I've got to get to a point in my life where I'm willing at some point to tell somebody else the truth about what happened to me. And when you get there, and it seems kind of scary, you know, and it is kind of scary because after all, this program had put me into a position to start practicing things that I hadn't practiced in a long time, because our literature talks about animal listen, our literature is so wonderful. It's so wonderful, and it's so kind to us. It's empathetic to us. It treats us with kid gloves. It really does, because animalistic level is really being nice to us, because animals protect their kids from the shelter. And animals get their kids. Animals don't abandon it. Listen, a bird will leave a nest and go get their babies some food. Listen, we really was worse than that. But early on, you can't handle that much honesty. So it sets you up. It sets you up right early on just to give you enough. Just to give you enough to be able to, like say you fucked up. It don't let you feel a full effect of just how fucked up you is right off the bat. Because you can't, sometimes you can't handle it now with 12 steps and with a guy. Some of the time you really can't understand why right here, right now, you got all this stuff, all this spiritual stuff that you're supposed to have going on with you, and you still do that. You still think that. You still responded to that like that. But you listen. One of my most, because we all have our own stories in out of the rooms and since we got here. And a lot of the times I may have a tendency to minimize your story because my pain is always so personal and great to me. And we have a tendency to do that to each other, right? But one of the most difficult things that I had to do in the form of getting, listen, when I got here, I did what I was told. I did what Winnie and Kenny, I did what they told me to do. I made meetings like they told me to make meetings all day long. I ain't pretend I had no fucking life, because I didn't. I ain't act like now that I got a couple days clean, all this stuff's so important, I need to go get this back and get, I ain't had shit to go get back. By the time I got here, I ain't had shit. Wasn't nothing to go get. So I just did what I needed to do. I just showed up all the time. And I got me a sponsor early on, and I got me a home group early on, and I made meetings because I believed y'all. And even before I was willing to be completely honest with myself about how messed up I was, I believed that y'all said that if I didn't do what y'all told me to do, that something bad was going to happen. And the worst thing that could happen was cop. That's the worst thing that could happen is copping. Everything else I believe I could get through copping. I don't want to cop. So I did what I was told. And a lot of different things happened. You know, a lot of not using drugs is painful. We know the pain of active addiction. We know the dereliction. But I'm talking about not using drugs and being fake. Listen, and the smoke clear. And the smoke clear. And then you look and you realize just how, listen, that everything, every relationship, every potential relationship, everything you ever had, you fucked everything up. It's everything is fucked up. And then you have to tell yourself that. And you have to accept that truth. And you have to take that in and realize that a lot of that stuff, listen, you got to keep moving forward. You can't allow it to take you back because it becomes so painful that sometimes you think that the only thing that's going to make it feel better is copping, because that's what you always used before to get instant fix for when you felt so bad. But you believe in don't cop no matter what. And you believe that they said that they got through and didn't cop, and that you can get through and not cop too. And as you get through those kind of situations and not cop, you begin to get stronger in your character and in your spirit. You begin to understand that you're more resilient than you think you are. That you can really handle way far more than you thought you could handle. And you begin doing those things. You begin applying the steps. And you begin writing. And you begin praying. And you be doing all those things. And one of my most jolting experiences with being honest with myself was in the form of a relationship. And I wanted to, when I got here, I did so much trick and prostitution, hoeing, whatever you want to call it, to get one more when I was out there. that when I got here, I really looked at, I really appreciated the opportunity to not have to sleep around. I appreciated the opportunity. Listen, crack drove me. I did what I needed to do, but when I got here and the crack was removed and I had this opportunity to be honest with myself about also just how bad that made me. I hated tricking. I hated it. I'm telling you, I hated. Listen, I really like being with people, be prior to crack and using drugs. I really, really only went with people that I really had feelings for. But crack took that choice from me. It took that choice from me, and I really appreciated having that choice back. And I exercised my motherfucking choice. I did. I exercised my choice. And I allowed the women in the fellowship to teach me how to be a woman, and I allowed the men to teach me how to be a lady, right? And I was able to be those things, right? And then I met somebody. Listen, but there's something happens when you're not in relationships. And what happens is you really think you better than you really the fuck are. Because some things don't surface when you're not in relationships. Jealousy, and why that bitch hugging him like that, and why she always talking to him. Those things don't surface when you're not in no relationship. And it's okay, because they gotta surface, but you don't really, when you just working on you, and you just doing your step work, and you just making your meetings, and you just doing all that, and that's what you should be doing, right? But then God always introduced another element, another pertinent element to the mix. And then having a man is a pertinent element in my book. I don't know the fuck about you. And that's okay if you don't want. That's okay. But it was one of my desires was to have somebody. That's one of my desires. And when that desire was met, you also get to see just how much work. I did a lot of work. But you also get to see how much work you haven't done because you haven't had opportunity to fuck. There was no need to do it. There was no need to sit there and smile when that bitch you hate hugging him. And you're, hi, baby. Baby. And that was one of my jolting experiences in honesty, is being able to tell myself just how insecure and jealous and inadequate I really, really was. Listen, I'm telling you, it was because people get, they see, I am a married woman. I love my husband Ghost, and the nigga ain't dead yet. I always share that. That's my best friend. That's my dog. But the product you see ain't the product that we went through. He ain't know. He from a whole nother state. And some of the Nick men in here right now is his best friend. But listen, we used to lead a meeting. He wanted to know too. Why the fuck, Brian? Why Brad always kissing you? What the fuck that nigga kissing you for? Why Kenny Ali? He ain't know, y'all. So we had to discuss these things. And one of the things that I learned through being honest in this program, I never stopped kissing Brian. Because some of the time my need, this need that I have to have somebody, to have people in my life, to be accepted, will make me sacrifice things that I'm not supposed to sacrifice for nothing. And I made a decision through being honest with myself about what my real needs were. Because I ain't never had a problem getting a man. That was not one of my problems. But I've never had valuable friendships. I've never had relationships with people that I could count on to show up for me no matter what. I've never had relationship with men that never, not once, asked to sleep with me. Not one time. Not once. Not one time did they ever treat me other than their little sister. Not never, not one time. And I had to be able to be honest with myself about that and not sacrifice my friendships. And as a result of not doing those things, I never stopped hugging nobody. I didn't hug. And the few people that I did stop hugging was the men who was always inappropriate. You know what I mean? And it was okay to be inappropriate And it wasn't even inappropriate at one time because I was single. And they said, baby, when you going to let me take it out? And there wasn't nothing wrong with that. But once I tell you, listen, this is what I'm doing. I'd appreciate if you respect that. And you can't hug me differently. You can't give me a motherfucking N.A. hug. Back the fuck up off me. Don't hug me at all. I was able to make those kind of decisions. You know what I mean? And it's all through. But in order to be able to make those kind of decisions, you got to tell yourself how insecure and how jealous. You got to be able to work through it. And you, listen, you can't work through it with nobody else if you ain't working on them yourself. So I would call my sponsor. I would call and tell her about all kinds of stuff. When he want to go see his baby. I don't want you to see your baby. You should forget all about her. Don't hurt a baby, all the motherfuckers. You mind that? That's what I'm telling you. That's what my head told me. That's how I felt with every fiber of my being. I really felt like that. I was too insecure to let him go to Baltimore. And then, listen, I was going with him. And I went. Many times. But through the ability to be honest with my sponsor and share with her how insecure and how jealous I, how when she called on the phone, I sat there. I sat so close, she damn near was talking to me and him. Early on. And then I was able to leave out the room. And because I kept talking, I kept sharing about it. I kept telling my sponsor, I ain't leaving out. She said, baby, just leave out the room and let him talk. That's my house. I ain't leaving out the fucking room. We ain't have speakerphones and shit there, because that shit would have been on speakerphone back then. But we ain't had it. So listen, I'm going to say this to be quiet. Listen, what I found out about honesty is I benefit from it the most. Even though, you know, my experience sharing, my experience with being honest with myself may help somebody else. Listen, my life has been enhanced more than anybody else's by me finding the ability through this program to tell myself the truth about me, about how fucked up I am, and about how much progress I made as a result of this program. So newcomer, listen, you're already being honest. If you're sitting in this meeting, you've made your first step towards humility and honesty by admitting, and maybe you could be saying, could it be the drug?
Our next speaker will be Kenny Ali on open-mindedness. The topic of this workshop is how. I give you Kenny Ali from Philly.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love you, Kenny.
I'm an addict named Kenny.
Hey, Kenny.
Oh, God. And before I start, first, I want to take this time to thank God, as I understand him, for getting us here safely. I want to thank God for blessing us with his grace, with his love, and with his mercy today. I know that without God's grace, without his love, and without his mercy, we would all be in trouble. And I want to thank the Ocean City area for, I took my plate out because I broke my teeth. So it's all right, because I'm all right about where I'm at. And I mean, I just wanted to share that, because I know once I came up out of this, y'all probably say, what the fuck? this is what it is. Right. Listen, what the fuck? You know what I mean? But look, I just want to thank the Ocean City Area Convention for thinking enough about Philadelphia to make me a part of the Philadelphia trifecta, and my little sister here just did an awesome piece, and I love you. It's something about you can't help nobody until you first help yourself. You know what I mean? I came into this program May 22nd. I'm going to have 19 years.
Yeah.
Right? And let me share something with you, right? You can't, you know, when I first got here, right, they're going to hear me.
Yeah.
You know, when I first got here, right, I put a lot of the cart before the horse. Because when I came here, my butt was on fire so much, right? I was hurting. And she just shared my story, too. I was hurting, man. And when I came here and I sat down here in these meetings and I was hearing my answer, right? And I started looking at me. What I was seeing, I was hearing so much stuff. And I wanted to be what I heard. I was new. my whole life. By the time I came here, I was like 34 years old, so I'm 53 now, right? And my life was so painful and so much destruction that I just wanted something good to happen to me, right? And I was hearing all this recovery. Recovery is a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song, especially when you don't know it and you have not experienced it, right? So I wanted all this shit to happen for me. And I was sitting there. I remember my first convention. I was in the harbor in the inner city area, the inner city, right? And I was watching people doing what I'm doing now, and some people had brought me in they bought my clothes and they bought everything, right? And I was sitting outside out there, and I was looking at the guy sharing behind the joint, and I was saying, like, damn, I just want to do that stuff. So after the meeting, I asked my friends to take a picture of me in this empty room. You remember? And I just stood up, remember? I stood up behind a joint. Right? I'm dead serious, right? Listen, I had about 9 months clean, right? And I stood up behind the joint, and they looked at me, and they saw, right, this enthusiasm, because something was happening, and I started to buy into what it is that y'all were saying, right? But what happened is I had to learn that you can't put the cart before the horse. See, I wanted to go out there, and I wanted to help everybody, and I wanted everybody to listen to me and this, that, and the third, right? But let me share something with you, right? You can't help people until first you get in touch with your fucking issues. Hear what I'm saying? See, sometimes, man, you can't help nobody get better with nothing until you have first gotten better with some shit your damn self. And to do that, you got to come to a point where she just rapped about. First, you got to recognize your inability. You got to recognize the hardest thing I've had to do in this program was that first step. Because in that first step, I had to tell myself how fucked up and how empty I was. See, that ain't easy for an egomaniac like me. See, I want people to know me. I want to be known. I want to be loved. I want y'all to think the world of me. But it was a time in my recovery where I had to tell myself, boy, you ain't shit. You know what I'm saying, right? You done fucked up. Now, can you look at yourself in the mirror at 30-something years old and tell yourself how empty you are? See, that's the recovery that I ran into my experienced members. I love them, the Winnies and the Thomases and the Harold J's and my sponsor and all these guys that was here when I got here. Y'all was carrying that kind of message. Listen, man, don't get fucked up by this. Hear what I'm saying? You got to get in touch with that. Your life is at stake. Hear what I'm saying? Because sometimes we can get distracted by the brightness of what we think is happening and lose sight of what the real prize is. Hear what I'm saying? And the real prize is putting you back together. Because you got to get in touch in that first step, and you got to look through that principle of honesty and all that stuff, that you have came to us with nothing. You are absolutely and unequivocally bankrupt. You are fucked up. Sit your monkey ass the fuck down. Oh, listen, I'm trying to tell you something. You got to recognize, because sometimes we kill each other around here. We try to help people with shit that we ain't none got better to fuck with. And wondering why there's so much insanity and all that bullshit going around and around. Why? Because how the fuck can I talk to Tracy R. and tell Tracy R., yeah, I see you back there, motherfucker. You thought I ain't seen you. Yeah, but that's a friend of mine. How the hell can I help or talk to him like she was just saying about all this stuff? Listen, you got to become open. First, recognizing that you need help. First step, recognizing. Listen, I don't care how old you is. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what your education level is. I don't care if you come to us with a car. You just said so many people just shared this here, right? You have nothing. You got to recognize that. You ain't shit. I don't care what your story is. It says in the literature, we don't give a fuck who or what you are, what your connections were. We don't care none about that shit. We only want to know what you want to do about your problem and how we can help. But your part, the part that you have to get in touch with on the individual side, is that you have a problem. And then on top of that, you have to get, this is what I had to do, y'all, get in touch with how deep my problem runs, how it affects me. See, you got to give it, you got to get a chance of doing work on yourself. Too many of us rush to help. You hurt more than you're helping. Too many of us is rushing to help. I'm sharing my story. I rushed to help. I got a couple motherfuckers that I sponsored when I first got it. They heard me share one or two times. They heard me talk. Can you sponsor me? Yeah. I hope and pray to God that I'm forgiven for what I told them boys. No, I'm dead serious. Because right now, it's nothing funny about this shit. Right now, these boys are smoking. Couple of them have died on some of that shit I told people when I first got here. Because first, you got to get in touch with, listen, man, I had to get in touch with, first, you know, it ain't easy telling me that I got a problem. It's not an easy pill to swallow. So this is where the openness had to come in at. Hear what I'm saying? First, you got to get in touch with that you fucked up. Now you got to become open to be taught. You know, it ain't easy teaching adults. It ain't easy teaching people who think they know something that they don't know nothing, and you need to sit down and to be taught something. You know, it ain't easy to get in touch with, I need to follow. See, a good leader knows when he has to be an exceptional follower. A good leader, at some point in his life, he has had to have been an exceptional follower. And you can talk to my sponsor, right, Richard C. back in Philly. One thing he tell you, for 18 and a half years, going on 19 years, I have followed. I call, listen, this is the one man. When I sit in front of him, I'm like a little kid. He's like my father. This is one person I don't talk no bullshit to. I go to him. Listen, do you have somebody that you can talk to? Do you have somebody that you listen to? Or do you always got the answers? Or do you always got to be right? See, these are some of the things I had to start asking myself. And then I had to sit down and see, hold up, if the fuck, the banquet speaker just said it, if you keep listening to the last person that you got high with, which is you, no, I'm dead serious, right? If I keep listening to Kenny, I will never get anywhere. How do I know that? Look through my step work. Look through my life story and you'll see. Kenny have never led Kenny anywhere but to hell. Kenny have always been my worst enemy. So listen. So I had to sit down and I had to be taught. I had to be shown. I had to do all this stuff, right? But let me tell you something about recovery, right? Funny thing about recovery that happened in my world, right? Somewhere along the fucking life, right? Somewhere along that road, all of a sudden I started thinking I know something again. And this is when you got to continue in your step work to become open to get in touch with, like, who you are and whose you are. You got to start getting in touch with, right? Like, who you serving? Who you serving? Who you serving? Who you here for? Who you helping for? What are you doing this shit right to get accolades for you? Is this another notch on your motherfucking belt? You know what I'm saying? Is all this shit that you're doing for you? I'm going to share with you why I'm saying that. The first meeting I ever spoke at a convention. I'm going to tell the story finally. I'm going to tell. I was in Delaware. Delaware. Swapner called me, Hal P's area, called me and said they want me to come down there and do a meeting 9 o'clock in the morning. on a Saturday morning. I just knew when I got the call, the first thing I said, fuck it, these motherfuckers finally done realize that I'm here. No, I'm dead serious. They finally realize that I'm here. Boy, I'm going to go to Swagner and I'm going to tear this shit up. Because I'm running on all me, family, right? Listen to me. You can laugh all you want, but listen to what I'm saying, right? I got about 6 carloads from Philadelphia. Woke people up early in the morning. Come on, I'm going to Delaware. We gonna carry the message. We gone. I got to Delaware. They put me in a big-ass room, right? I looked in the room. I saw all the empty chairs. I said, I knew it. They knew I got something to say. When it was 9 o'clock and the meeting started, the only people in the fucking meeting was the people that I rode with. Listen. And all of them were asleep because it was too early in the goddamn morning. Hear what I'm saying? I looked and I was sharing and I couldn't say what I had wrote down and tried to say. And I'm sitting there and I couldn't get off. And I'm saying, what the fuck? Now, we was one of the 6 cars that came with me. We all rode down. He was in the meeting sleeping too. This guy right here, good friend of mine. At 11 o'clock was the next scheduled meeting. In the same room. And he was speaking. At 10:30, the fucking room was packed. And on that day, he carried a wonderful message. But I was sitting in that meeting, tight-jawed. And I thank God for people recognizing, I'm talking about being open. I thank God for people recognizing the clothes that you're wearing when you wear them. Because Ron H. and Richie C. and them had to grab me after the meeting. And they had to say, they said to me, Kenny, who did you come here for? No, listen. Richie C. told me. He said, you have to be as enthusiastic carrying this message for one person as if you carried for 100 people. I got a lesson that day on ego. I got a lesson on day on who I was serving at that point. And I started doing some more work. Because I had to start getting in touch with what this was all about. This is God's program, not Kenny's. If you're doing anything, it says it in our book. It says the purpose, why we are here. If it's not to continue to carry the God's message and to help somebody in the name of Almighty God and all this stuff. Right, you're not in the right place. So I had to see, like she said, you know, you can think you done got better with something when it ain't happening. You don't know if you got better with something until the opportunity presents itself and you do something different, and then you do it different consistently. You got to keep doing it different for you to be able to claim victory over something.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? But I thought that I had did something. I thought, how you doing? Up to that point, you asked me how I was doing. Oh, through God's grace, I'm doing real good, and this, that, and the other, and God is good, and all this sort of stuff. Until that day, I saw. But it wasn't a fight. See, when the student is ready, right, the teacher will appear. Check this out, right? God got every mountain that I've climbed, God then brought me to it. And presents it to me, and then he gives me that thing called the opportunity of choice. Listen, you can either go this way, or you can go that way. Listen, he ain't gonna force me, push me through no door, let me do. Listen, it's up to you. But when he brings it to me, I know it's an opportunity, right, to work on it. So I've done some work, but listen, right, 18 years later, I still need to always manufacture the spirit of open-mindedness. Because we can become open in the start, and I've done it, close it in the middle, only to be my ass to be lit on fire again, to see that I need to remain open, because you can't be taught nothing if you ain't open. So open-mindedness, like they say, will get you in touch with some of the answers that have been eluding us all of our lives. Listen, right? If you're sitting here listening to a no-teeth motherfucker like me tonight, no, check this out, right? You're probably in search of something. No, listen. You're probably in search of some truth. You're probably in search of some things that have been eluding you all your life. But check this out, right? No matter what you've done, no matter how much work you've done, there is always more work to do. And check this out, I don't care how much time you got. In this program, there is no room for the great ones. The great I am. Ain't no fucking body great up in here. Hear what I'm saying, right? Because if I don't listen today, I'll be the nigga that y'all talking about that used to have this and used to have that. If I get caught up in my accomplishments and forget that all of my accomplishments can fit very neatly in a cooker or a straight shooter. Hear what I'm saying. If I forget that, the day I forget that is the day that I'm fucked. Yes. Hear what I'm saying? So every time I come to a meeting, every time I run into y'all, every time I need to remain teachable. It's no such thing as ever coming around you and acting like I'm arrogant and haughty and mighty and I'm the this, that. Listen, man, don't do that to me. Yes. Don't do that to my squad. Don't do that to you. Because check this out, right? We all need each other, and we need to understand that. You know what I'm saying? Like, be open. Like, I'm open to this paper that she just gave me. I saw you. She trying to be all cute with it and shit. But the bottom line, what she just told me was shut the fuck up, make some room, right? So thanks a lot. That's cool.
Our next speaker will be Brian Kay, speaking from Philly on willingness.
I'm an addict named Brian. I thank God for being here. I thank God for my friends, Anne Marie and Kenny. When I was told that I would be doing this meeting with both of them, just delighted my heart, because it's two friends that I, you know, it's a special thing to share with your friends, people that know you, people who have gone through your process with you, people who are not impressed with you, people who do not put you where some other people put you. People that love you when you don't love yourself, you know. And then all my other friends that are here, I have some special friends and some bonds with some people that are dear to my heart and that I cherish, you know, because there are moments in my life when I'm by myself and the only thing that I can hold on to is my friends. The only thing I can hold on to is some conversations, because I'm not like the so-called circuit speaker, or I'm not one of those people that have gotten so caught up into myself that I think that I am beyond reproach, or that I think that I'm somewhere out, because sometimes y'all separate us from they're supposed, like, ordinary addicts, and then you have the us addicts, and an addict is an addict. Listen to what I'm saying. And I was listening to Easy, and I understood your point clearly, because this to me is about regurgitation, just throwing up some stuff that's inside my spirit and just pouring it out to you to let, because I ain't here to speak. I'm here to carry a message. You know, I am here on assignment, as Thomas put it. And I am unapologetic for my love for God. So if I speak about God and you got an issue with that, I am not going to apologize. I am not a speaker that's going to stand up here and apologize for the love of God that I have because of the grace that he has bestowed upon me, the mercy that he has bestowed upon me, the love that he has bestowed upon me, the opportunity not just to live a second chance, or I've been given another chance. I blew a second chance in 1973. I messed my third chance up in 1974. My fourth chance, 1975. I've just been given another chance. I don't apologize for stuff like that. You know, our step work tells us that we receive our recovery from the God of our understanding. And when I became willing to get out of my own way, then my recovery process began to flourish. I began to, like, talk differently. I began to act differently. I began to walk differently. One of the things I love, there's a definition of willingness that is like a deep piece. It says willingness means cheerful compliance. Yeah, some of y'all didn't know that. Y'all thought willingness was I'm getting ready to do something. You know, and too many of us live in a perpetual state of fitting to do that we never get nothing done. But yeah, we talking about cheerful. Now, what gets me to a point where I want to cheerfully comply? No, I mean, not just regular old generic comply. Cheerfully. Now, if you've been through the hell that I've been through in my life and have been brought to this process, you should be cheerful every day that you wake up without the obsession to use drugs. Oh, you could just shout off of that. I could just wake up in the morning and just run around my room. Hey, I don't feel like getting high today. No, newcomer, it's not no deep, mysterious thing, because we be looking for miracles like way out in the beyond and in the mysterious land when the miracle is sitting right beside you and sitting in your seat. You are the miracle if you have not used drugs today. It's that other stuff. Oh, that I'm not too cheerful about. Oh, I'm cheerful about the no drug piece. Oh, I'm happy about the no drugs. But what about after being here over 22 years and just sitting by yourself sometime and saying that you're not, I won't use the S-H-I-T word, I'll just use defecation. Feces. Doo-doo. Rear excretion. Because I'll be sitting back and I'll just be checking myself out. And I am not, like sometimes I think I should be somewhere. You ever be just around here and you just think you should, like, be somewhere? Thomas put me in touch with a lot of stuff. And I was sitting there, Keisha, and then my daughter's mother, Seth, was talking to me. We have a that's like my little sister now, so we fuss a lot. She was telling Keisha that, yeah, Brian gonna have a relationship with his daughter like Thomas got with you. I'm like, man, why you got to get all up and, you know, I was gonna share some spiritual stuff. But there are some areas in my life that I want to do some stuff. It be in me to do some stuff. There are days I wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to call my daughter, because she always talks to me about my daughter. My daughter's going through a whole lot of stuff. And I'd be wanting to do stuff. See, I ain't one of them guys in here that claim perfect fatherhood. I'm willing to be a good father. Oh, it's in me. But I just don't put forth the effort. Because sometimes my total, somebody spoke about, self-centeredness locks me into me. And now that I'm not working, I have a lot of idle time and a lot of other stuff be on my mind. Freakish stuff. Trifling stuff. Nasty stuff. No, listen to what I'm saying. It isn't, if you got a job, that's important. That occupies 8 hours of your day. It occupies 8 hours of your mind. You got other things to focus on when you're working. Now, when you ain't working, and you can go to bed whenever you want to go to bed, wake up whenever you want to go to bed, Obama just breaking you off something every once in a while, every 2 weeks he keep extending stuff. Makes you not even want to go to work. Because as long as funds coming in, I'm not putting forth the effort to really look for a job. I'm willing, but I ain't moving.
Come on, baby.
So there's some other things I could be doing with my idle time. Spending time with her. Spending time with my son. My son's 23. Great boy. Great kid. And you know what, man? I feel so bad because I don't have nothing to do with his greatness. I can't lay claim to. This Brian. I don't know what y'all came to hear. God damn it, I'm regurgitating. I'm just going to throw this shit up and y'all can clean this up later. But you sit back and you begin to think about your recovery process for real. Not this. I don't really get off on this like I used to. Some people, this is what their dream is. I want to speak at a convention and I want to get behind this microphone and I want to share. And you're not really sharing anything. You're trying to impress unimpressionable people. You're trying to flex your larynetical abilities and don't even have any cogitation skills. You can't even think straight. So how you gonna talk straight? This is not about being cute. The longer you stay here, you recognize that it's not about being cute no more. The longer you stay here, you get more in touch with your imperfections. The longer you stay here, you get in touch with your infallibilities. The longer you stay here, you begin to recognize that you're not God. And that there's a place and a lane that you're supposed to stay in. I want you to be a father, boy. Why I can't do that? It's in me. Sometimes I don't want the hassle. Sometimes I get sometimes my daughter's mother call me and I look at the caller ID and I see her name. Oh, y'all just don't know the things that be going through my body. Oh, I gotta answer it, but then I gotta be nice when I answer, because it ain't always bad news, you know, because, you know, every time I say, you know, she's like, well, you always gotta have attitude when I call you. I say, because most of the time, you want to call me complaining about, so we always end up arguing, and I don't feel like arguing, and
just answer the damn phone and listen to what she got to say and listen to things from her perspective, because it was about understanding rather than being understood. Harold, you said it a long time ago, that understanding means move from my position, go to her position, stand under her, and see shit from her perspective. I can't let her think she right. Then we battling and the baby suffering. No, listen to what I'm saying. Now, Thomas, you brought this up talking about Keisha. I got to be talking about shit. Now, I didn't come in. You got me cussing and everything. Because now I'm all confused right now. I had some delicate. I was going to drop some spiritual stuff. Y'all bring it home. I'm the third of the triple threat. Y'all were supposed to float out of here. But this is some stuff some other men need to hear. I'm willing. But I ain't making no moves. I got the time. Well, I ain't going to go in the morning because I got to go to the gym. I'm up in the gym and I'm lifting the weights and pumping and, you know, doing the stuff I need. Oh, then I get home. Maybe I can go. No, I need to take a shower. Damn, I got to finish this paper by Friday. I knew about the paper 3 weeks ago. Had I not procrastinated and been playing around, I could have had the paper done by now. Oh, when I finish the paper, well, go in the evening. Well, I need to go to a meeting because I need to share. I'm in a dire need to share tonight. And I ain't got nothing to say. I just want to go there and just, you know, drop a bomb. Then I'm going to the shelter meetings. Because I'm tripping and lonely, and I figure if I share something deep there, I might be able to get a shelter girl. She don't know no better. I don't have to go through a lot of trouble. A pack of Newports, a Pepsi, and a fucking cheesesteak. I got pussy for the weekend. Well, that's Monday. Oh, well, Tuesday, maybe I'll go. Well, I gotta go to the gym. Do the paper that I didn't even start on yesterday. Gotta go to a meeting. Oh, Bible study, that's right. I gotta teach tonight. Well, maybe Wednesday. Gotta go to the gym. Oh, my home group Wednesday night. Shit, next week, I'ma not go to the gym. But if I don't go to the gym, then all of this shit here won't be tight. And I'm trying to bring this up in the here, so I got to stay on the course. Great ones for manipulating the truth. And the truth is, this ain't fucking recovery. I can dazzle all of you with my articulation skills. I can speak theoretically, philosophically, theologically. I can tell you about homiletics, hermeneutics. I can break eschatology down. I can bring ecclesiology. I'm a minister. I'm working on my second master's degree, but I don't know how to be a fucking father.
You're on your way now, though, nigga.
I'm willing. I ain't come here for this shit. Come to get deep. See if there's a shelter motherfucker in here or something. We ain't got to be back until Monday or something. I'll bring you back or put you on the bus or something. I got to ride home when I leave, finish this, and be by myself riding. And I got to think about all this. And I know the first person gonna call me on Monday morning, my baby mama. You had shared good when you was in Maryland. You willing now, nigga? But newcomer, this is about just telling you the truth. I ain't got no drug along. And my life is great. I have a good life. I got some good friends. And whenever I speak and share, I just come to report. And other people set the tone for me. You know what I mean? I listened to Thomas, and I listened to Easy earlier, and I listened to a couple other people earlier, and I listened to Anna, and I listened to Kenny, and it's just about reporting. You know, I don't have time to play behind a microphone. I ain't got time to, I ain't got time to be the great Brian K. The great Brian K. almost killed me 10 years ago when I got caught up in my own press clippings. When I had Brian K. marathons by myself. Because nobody else could tell me shit. Wasn't nobody asking you to speak nowhere. I'm traveling all over the country, going to places like Topeka, Kansas, and seeing where the Yellow Brick Road was, and going at Mobile, Alabama, and Tennessee, and Kentucky. I done spoke in 24 states. You know, my goal is to hit the other 26. I'm going to do it. Because I'm willing. I just ain't sending this shit bit to the committee. They're going to get the spiritual CD. You don't get this one. But this is the one that people need to hear. Because I ain't the only one here struggle in that area. God gives me the ability to just tell the truth about it. He gives Thomas the ability to tell the truth. You know what I mean? Because I don't want my daughter sitting in no meeting. I don't want to hear my daughter force that. Because I'll kill her. And here's the crazy part. My daughter loves me so much. No matter what I do, no matter how I yell at her, holler at her, cuss at her, she'll still call me just like I ain't never said shit the day before. Like she got her own kind of mind. That stuff like just bounces off of her. And if you ever see her, and you see me, and you see her, we are splitting images of each other. And then she has a daughter that if you see the grandbaby, you would swear that the baby is my baby. So I'm willing to do something. So y'all got to check up on me every once in a while. See, when I share to be put to task. See, I don't want people to say, oh, he shared some good stuff. But then you don't call me, or you don't check up on me, or you don't ask me, well, how you doing in that area? You know what I mean? Because we got a whole lot of, you're going to hear some great stuff this weekend. You're going to hear some great speakers this weekend. But the thing is, what are you going to do with what you heard this weekend? If you're struggling like me as a man, can you report to me the next time we see each other? Man, I was listening to you share up in Ocean City. I really ain't want to, show no reaction, but I was feeling you. And after that piece, man, I went home, and I called my baby's mother, and I say I want to be in my child's life. You know, God gives me the heart to come
from places. I wasn't going to say nothing. I really wasn't. But I be feeling you sometime, even though you think I don't, because we be fussing and stuff. Because I be like, I don't really know. Because women is different than guys. See, women don't think we get the point. We got the point 35 minutes ago. But you want to keep fucking talking and shit. We don't want to hear that shit after 5 minutes. Our brain ain't wired like that. We like, yo, okay, I got it. I got it. I got the shot, got it. Why you got to be hollering and stuff? Because I told you I had it 15 minutes.
Hit him, Robin.
Oh. Hit him. So I want to. Hopefully, for this committee, we gave y'all something. Cause this was a piece. When I come here, I didn't understand how convention could be rehab. You know, and depending on your condition, convention could be detox. Now, I didn't have no withdrawals and shit, but I still needed some rehab. And whenever I see my friends, when I see Harold and Ron and Thomas and Kenny and even Keith and Keith just always be around in the picture and shit. They just do something to my spirit. And Thomas slipped up when he was speaking because he said he was the youngest out the crew. I'm the youngest out the crew because I'm still under 50. And those guys took me under their wings when I was in my 20s. I got clean when I was 24 years old. And almost half my life has been in Narcotics Anonymous. Everything I know about life is a direct result of Narcotics Anonymous. Doesn't matter what I do outside of here, because sometimes, you know, I get flack from people because I'm a minister. They want to put me somewhere here. But there's something about my self-destructive personality that cries out for failure. And it doesn't matter what I do outside of here. If I forget what I am and forget to come here, then I could smoke in Bible paper with my master's degree. I can roll it all up. So I will never forget what I am. But you're not going to make me feel bad about what I do. Because y'all told me that I could be anything that I wanted to be. And I didn't want to be a preacher. I was called to be one. And it was through preparation in Narcotics Anonymous and standing at these podiums year after year after year and him beginning to change my language year after year after year that he prepared me to stand in front of another group of people. But I cannot be an effective preacher had it not been for Narcotics Anonymous. See, I believe God sometimes looks down over the balustrades of heaven, and he looks on down at this earth, and he looks at all of his religious organizations, and he sees how corny they are. He says, I need some other people to get up in those places to tell the truth about my power. Oh, I don't need the educated to talk about me. I don't need the rich to talk about me. I got to go to the lowest of the low. You said it. I got to go where the nobodies are at. And if I, listen, when I go down my old neighborhood, they don't say, oh, my Brian. They say, oh, my God. Because they know that only a God had the power to make me into what I am today. So I'm going to work on the other stuff. And don't judge me on the other stuff.
You know, because sometimes people say, oh, he's been sharing all them conventions and he a lousy father. Well, you was a lousy wife, husband, and a fucked up hoe. So don't worry. Don't be talking about me. Some of y'all just broke ass hoes. Don't even know how to be right hoes. So don't me talk about me. At least I can talk about myself.
That's enough. Wind it down.
So I'm going to say thanks for letting me share.